gracious and loving God. Thank you for your word. Your word filled with wind and fire and peace and joy. Help us to hear it, but not just to hear it and understand it, but to take it in and be given courage. Be given hope and peace to follow you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. There was a writer who had an Uncle Oscar. And Uncle Oscar was apprehensive about his first airplane ride. And at the end, his friends were eager to hear how it went and if he enjoyed the flight. Well, commented Uncle Oscar, it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be. But I'll tell you this, I never did put all my weight down. Fear does that to us. It causes us to not let our guard down, as it were, and feel free to enjoy the ride, be it an airplane ride or the ride of life. Fear makes us tense, listening intently to strange noise, constantly scanning the area around us for things or people out of place. And certainly in our day and age, that happens more and more. And today I want to talk just briefly about how the Spirit helps us to unlock the doors that constrict our life. In John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23, we hear the following, which occurred after Jesus' resurrection. In fact, you heard this passage two Sundays after Easter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the Jews had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the risen Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the day of Pentecost, according to the writer of John. This is when the disciples and the others that were there in that room received the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, written by the writer of the Gospel of Luke, talks about the receiving of the Holy Spirit when the disciples are in the upper room and there's a rush of a mighty wind, flames dancing on the disciples and the people's heads. They both talk about the receiving of the Spirit. Now there's differences between the two. But in both, they are all in a room together when the Spirit comes upon them. In our passage from John chapter 14, which I read, Jesus and the disciples are at the Last Supper. Jesus knows what's coming and how the disciples will react when he is arrested and then when he's killed. So he gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the Spirit. "I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." Peace, that's, by the way, that's the purpose of the Spirit. And then, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." The Holy Spirit conveys peace that only Christ can give. The Holy Spirit conveys a peace that allows us to live through the challenges of our life. To sit and put all of our weight down in this plane ride of life. And what does that mean for us as individuals and as a church? Reverend Alan Shewers, a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship pastor, in a sermon entitled Open Wide the Door, shares the following thoughts. We learn to fear, don't we? Over time, as more is established and more is at stake, as there's more to protect. And we forget that vision in Acts and the prophet Joel before that. Even those who have seen it all, even those who have lived all of these years, your old ones will dream dreams. And he goes on to say, I wonder where you find yourself in these passages. In the house? Out in the street? Crouched in the corner? Or peering out a wide open window? The songwriter Deb Talon, in a song called Forgiven, asked the question, so, my dear, will it be faith or fear? That might be the question of Pentecost. How will we greet the Spirit that visits us? What will our posture be toward the Spirit that comes with force and the power to disrupt and shake us from our established ways? Patterns to new visions and dreams. Will we greet the Spirit by saying, nope, we've never done it that way before. That's not how we do things. But when we follow the Spirit filled with new visions, will we settle down into the seat of the Spirit and go out to wherever we are led? I don't have to tell you, we are living in a time when the Church of Jesus Christ is losing people to nothing. Long gone are the Field of Dream days when if you build it, the church, people will come. The world is also becoming more individualistic and isolated. People do not feel welcomed anymore. The old ways of being the church don't work anymore. We need to rethink how we are the church and act with the peace of the Spirit. I'm reminded of a story told by Reverend Dr. Theodore Wardlaw, who is the president of Austin Presbyterian Seminary in Austin, Texas. He said there was an old Presbyterian church in Dallas, a worn-out building, and enough money to build a new one. The new building was all modern and airy and built out of limestone, but the congregation found it in a way to incorporate the stunning Tiffany stained glass windows from their old original structure. There was one window that was particularly captivating because of its size and its message. In the original building, it had taken up most of the chancel wall. A larger-than-life image of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, with his arms outstretched, and beneath them the words, come to me, all you who generations of people were greeted by that invitation as they came into that old sanctuary. But when they built the new sanctuary, they did some serious theological thinking about that window and took it from the chancel wall and put it on the back wall above the narthex. So that now, when the worship is over, it soars over people as they're walking out back into the world. The arms, outstretched arms of Christ with a call. Come to me, all you who labor. One calls us in. One calls us out into the outstretched arms of Jesus. The Pentecost story is a story for the church today. We need the visions of the young and the dreams of the older generations. The church needs to find its way back into the lives of people who are looking for an attitude not of judgmentalism, but of one of renewal and hope. We need to leave the comfort of our sanctuary. Or, might I say, the prison of our sanctuary, and go out among the people. In many ways, this space causes us to kind of keep it here. We can't keep it here. We have to go out into the world. We need to discover the language of the people out there. Talk with them. Find out what their needs are. And do all we can to meet at least some of them. In Luke, we hear these words from Jesus. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was out among the people. And the disciples on that first Pentecost described in Acts left the room, the upper room, and went out among the people and talked to them. Healing them, healed them, and taught them. They left the fear of the unknown back in that room, and they sank into the seats on the journey and put all of their weight into the sharing of the gospel, however and wherever it would be. The future of our church, the First Presbyterian Church of Sterling, will be different. We will have to discern where and what the Spirit is leading us to be and do. You'll be hearing more about it in the next several months. There's a group from our church in Myersville Church meeting with people from Presbytery to talk about the ministry of our two churches in Long Hill Township. It's a process that will challenge all of us to get out of our boxes, the box of the sanctuary, the box of our old ways of thinking, and think in new ways, have new dreams, have new visions. And we can do it. We can do it because we trust that the Holy Spirit is there to bless us with hope, with a vision, and a new way of being the church. We have to break the locks of fear and allow for the indwelling of the Spirit to lead us into a new future. We can put all of our weight in and enjoy the ride. Amen.